I go back to Romans chapter 1 with me. Romans chapter 1, this is God's Word. No scriptures of any private, personal concoction, or no man decided to write this, but God purposed for them to. This is through the Apostle Paul. Verse 7, he says, this is to all that be in Rome. To all that be in Rome. Rome was the greatest, most powerful kingdom on earth at that time. Rome was the greatest, most powerful military on earth at the time. Practically world domination. Rome was the center of the world's politics, religion, science, medicine, technology. Rome, the whole world's economy, depended upon Rome. It was a rich and wealthy nation which exported and imported many things. The whole world depended upon the economy of Rome. Rome was the seat or the center of culture, styles, arts and craft, music, drama, an extravagantly rich society, rich nation, wickedly perverse, hedonistic, meaning given to pleasure. That's all it was about, was pleasure. They thought life was to gratify the flesh, pleasure, hedonistic. To all that be, written to all that be in the United States of America. Could I have given a clearer description of the country we live in? This is written to all that be in Rome. Verse 7 says, beloved of God. No. You know, whatsoever God's word says, it says to them who have it. But the carnal mind, John, is enmity against. He won't have it with him. Who will hear? Who will hear the word of God? The beloved. God's people. Beloved of God, he calls them. For love. Beloved means the ones he loved before. The ones he foreknew. Some of these citizens of Rome or America were just like and still feel themselves to be like those Romans. But God, in love to them, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved them, even when they were dead, like these Romans, filled with all of these things, like Paul wrote, such were some of you, and so forth. God, in love, purposed to save them. Worthy of death, verse 32, but God says, I'm going to spare them. God, in love, purposed to save some of them from destruction. Save them from themselves. Save them from destroying themselves. We're going to see that in a moment. How God gives some people over, leaves them alone. And they destroy themselves. But God, beloved of God, Romans 8, Ephesians 1 says, whom he foreknew, or beloved of his, whom he loved before the world began, says he did predestinate. Means he predetermined for them to be holy, unblamed, like his son. The altogether lovely, holy, spotless, just one. There's just one who is good and holy and righteous. Well, God purposed, God predestined a number which no man can number to be just like him. I love old Barnard's statement where he said, God got up one morning and said, took one look at his son and loved him so much, admired him so much, he said, I'm going to have a whole planet Earth full of boys just like him. Well, that is exactly what God did. Predestined them to be conformed to the holy image of His Son. That's what salvation is all about. To save them from sin and destruction, from themselves. To save them from this world that He's going to destroy. To make them, to keep them forever in His kingdom. To the praise of the glory of His eternal love and grace and mercy that's in Christ. I just told you the gospel. Just told you. But God predestined them. And He predestined them to have the mind, the heart, and the character of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved God. Down in verse 30, it talks about haters of God. See that? Backbiters. Haters of God. Over in 2 Timothy, it says lovers of themselves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Here it talks about them, they don't like to think about God. They don't like to think about God. Don't even want there to be a God, he said. They hate God. You talk about God, they hate that. They don't want a God. Not the one this book reveals. But God predestined to have a people who, like Jesus Christ, love God. Love God as God. Love God's Word. Love God's character. Love God's law. David said, do not I love thy law, O God? Yes, I can't keep it, but I still love it. Don't you? It's a manifestation, a clear description of who God is, who's holy. Well, these who love God, in Romans 8, you know that, verse 28 says, all things purposed by God, them who love God. It's all good for them who love God. Well, why do they love God? God predetermined that they would. Predestined them to. We love Him because He foreknew, He predestinated, and it says, whom He predestinated, He called. Now, look at verse 6. It says, among whom you are the called of Jesus Christ, all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Beloved of God, loved by God, and those who love God. They're the called of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. Always has been. God is spirit. God has always dealt with His people, His beloved, through the beloved. The only begotten, well-beloved. So He's always dealt. See, His delights, Proverbs 8, were with the sons of men, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth. The Lord who spoke to man at every time was the Lord Jesus Christ. The beloved. The firstborn among many brothers. The eldest son. The king. The prince. The one whom God gave all government, gave this whole thing to. Before the world began, He said unto His Son, thou art my Son, I've given all things to you. Now reign over it, rule it, save them, bring them, do all that. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. God gave Him a sheep before the world began, gave them a sheep. They're goats, they're sheep. God loved the sheep. They're called sons of Jacob. Jacob have I loved. They're all black sheep. But He gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. And He said, my sheep hear my voice. All of them. This is the call. The shepherd's call. He calleth, our Lord said this. He said, the great shepherd is he who calleth his own sheep. They belong to him. He calleth them by name and leads them out. Come with me, sheep. Come with me. We're going out. I'm leading you out. You remember over in Exodus where God said, I am come down. Remember that? I am come down. God came down. I am come down, he said, to lead them out and to bring them up. I'm bringing you out of sin, out of bondage to sin, out of bondage to Satan, out of bondage to yourself, out of bondage to the world. I'm bringing you out from under the penalty of the law, the death, the bondage of death. I'm bringing you out. He calls them out of bondage, sorrow and night. We sing that song. Out of darkness. You're not going to be in darkness anymore. He says, I'm bringing you out into my marvelous light. I'm the light. Out of this corrupt world. He says, you're not of this world. Oh, but Lord, no, you're not of this world. Uh-uh. And he keeps telling them that. He keeps showing them that. Brother Kelly keeps weaning them from it. He keeps showing. He lets them go a little bit. He says, see? And bringing them out. I'm calling them out. My sheep. Calling them out of sin. Out of unbelief. Out of ignorance. Out of enmity. They were once, you know, like the rest of this world. No, God. Like old Saul. Again, I can't wait to get to Acts 9. I haven't, have I? I keep bringing it up. And Saul said, I will not have this man reign over in God's here salvation. God who foreloved this God-hater. God who predestined this God-hater. God who called him Saul. Who are you? I'm the one you hated. He's going to have him. He's going to have him. Call him out. The Son of God. Verse 4 says he's declared to be the Son of God with power. He's declared. God said, thou art my Son. Ask me and I'll give you it all. And he did. All authority, Christ says, given unto me in heaven and earth. Power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as God hath given him. All power is in his hands. All souls are mine, he says. Calleth whom he will. That's what it says there of Christ. He says he went up into a high mountain and called unto him whom he would. And they came. Everyone, they came. The sheep know his voice. He knows his own. And he calls them by name. And they come to him. Stranger, they come to him. He's powerful. All powerful. The powerful voice of the Son of God. All power over all flesh. Aren't you glad? These imposters, these false prophets say he has power over this and that and the other, but he can't do anything about your will unless you let it. Aren't you glad that our Christ has all power over that he makes you willing when? In the day of his power. Aren't you glad? There was a time, John, you didn't believe this, did you? But in the fullness of time, in God's good time, God sent forth his Son through the preaching of the gospel and said, John Davis, you will believe this, won't you? And John said, I will, I do, I'm sorry. I was wrong. You're right. I was dead and wrong. Call of the gospel. Verse 16 says it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Just stating a fact here. Those that believe, they do so by the power of God. The operation of God. The grace of God. They believe. It's a gift. It's the power of God. The working of His mighty power. They believe according to the working of His mighty power. That's why they believe. We just said that. But this gospel call is the power of God. They all hear it. Jesus Christ comes into this world. He came once in the flesh and he walked about seeking whom he will, didn't he? He said, I am come to seek and to save the lost. I am come into this world to seek my sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I left the 99 and I'm going to find every one that the Father gave me. And he came and he said, there's one in a boat. Passed by several boats. Here at the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. He's got their names in a book. He's got them right there. He went looking for them. There's one. Seven. Andrew. follow me. Didn't ask him anything. He just powerfully said, follow me. Come, like I would my dog. And I shouldn't say it in a harsh way. It was effective, wasn't it? Come. Did they? And so did you. When you first heard the gospel, nobody asked you anything, did you? Nobody asked you. When you first heard the gospel saying, nobody said, will you accept Jesus? No, sir. When you heard the declaration of who Christ is, just this right here, you start doing the asking, didn't you? Like those people at Pentecost. They're the ones that, what are we going to do? Well, it sounds like God's already done something. Sounds like He's already called you. Believe. Believe. Simon, Andrew, follow me. Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide at your house. Why? Because I must find my people. Shall not be discouraged or fail. Woman at the well. He must needs go through Samaria. Why? That's where one of his elect is. One of his sheep. Woman, I'm he. Saul, you're a chosen vessel unto me. And he's still calling his sheep out the same way. You see, this is far from God's sovereign love and electing grace and predestinating purpose and call, sovereign call of the gospel is far from discouraging us. It's our hope. See, we talk to our children, we talk to our parents, we talk to people we run into contact. We can't convince them of anything to them. We can give them the best message we've ever heard. We can talk to them until we're blue in the face. Give them the best art. We cannot convince them of anything, can we? With man, it is impossible. Not with God. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. He will. He tells us, go in all the world and preach the gospel. Preach. Don't ask. Don't beg. Don't cajole. Don't try to bribe them. Don't get all sorts of gimmicks and tricks and tactics and use these things of foolishness, wisdom. Don't do that. Just declare who Christ is, who God is, and stand back and you watch me call out my people. Watch me. You'll be amazed. Yeah, I'll do a work though that men won't believe, even if one tells them. Oh, you know, so and so, he won't. You'll never convince him. That's right. But you know what? God did. Amazing. God did. Old John Newton. He is the vilest of the vile. The vilest of the vile. Slave trader. Like an animal. Became a slave. Oh, what did he write? Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. What happened, John? Somebody found me. Somebody called me. Call to repentance. Repentance is, God calls a man and says, you're wrong. God is righteous. We're unrighteous. Look at verse 17. The righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith. God is right. Man is wrong. Everything about him is wrong. This is the first thing God reveals to us. I'm right, you're wrong. Everything you thought about me is wrong. Everything you thought about yourself is wrong. Everything you've ever done is wrong. You're headed wrong. You are wrong. I'm right. The only way you're going to be right is I'm going to make you right. Right? Right? Repentance. Faith. Repentance toward God. You're right. I'm wrong. Faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, now here's my mercy. Here's my grace. Here's my salvation. Here's my righteousness. Here's the way. Here's the truth. Here's the life. Here's your mediator. Here's your intercessor. Here's your prophet, your priest, your king, your Lord, your salvation. Here's it all. It's in all. All of it is in Him. Go to Him. I'm not going to accept anybody any other way. I'm not going to even speak to you, be spoken to. I don't have anything to do with you ever. You can't come into my kingdom, but If you just go to him, Joseph has it all. The storehouses. All mercy, grace, love. It's in him. If you go to him, you'll find out. I predestined it all along. And I always did love you. There he is. Faith toward the Lord. That's what faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ is. Call to believe. I believe. There was a time old Saul of Tarsus said he hated this way. He went everywhere persecuting, hating this way. What way? Christ. Those who said that it's not your religion, it's not your works, it's not what you know, it's who knows you. It's not you doing things for God. No, no, no. It's Jesus Christ doing something for you. Saul hated this way. He hated this way. No, I've worked all my life. I'm blameless. Whew. Not knowing he was wearing a rag that God said. Like that prodigal son, not knowing he stinks. He's in the hog pen until God said, bring him home. He's one of mine. Bring him home. The first thing he did, what did he do? Bring the best robe. Take that stinking garment off him and cover him. Cover him. And so on. Shoes on his feet. Going to walk by faith from here on. Oh, Saul said, I believe. Finally, Saul said, I tell you, I'm determined not to know anything. Now, he was determined, John, to go all over the world and kill do away with this way. Now he said, I'll die for this way. This is the way. For me to live, he says, is Christ. There is no other way. And he died because of it. But he didn't die, did he? He lived. A call, a sovereign call to follow. To follow these beloved, these believers, these followers. Verse 7. Actually, this is the meat of the message right here. Verse 7. They're called to be saints. They're called saints. God calls his people saints. We don't call ourselves that, do we? But God calls all of his people saints. God's the one who makes them saints. The Roman Catholic word is canonized. They all get together and decide who's a saint. God's just purposed who were his saints long before. God's the one. And there are saints called Saint Amy. You ever heard of Saint Amy? I'm sure you have. She's right over there. Now she's sitting there saying, it doesn't sound right to me. Right? Saint Stanley. You know a Saint Stanley? I can't find one in history. There is one written in a book. Uh-huh. Well, he's saying, he's hanging his head. Everyone. You don't call yourself saints, do you? What do you call yourself? Sinner. Old Jacob said, I'm the God of Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Jacob, what that mean? Supplanter, cheat, no good. God said, you're not called Jacob anymore. I'm calling you Israel. Prince of God. What do you reckon he called himself that day forward? What's your name? Jacob. I don't think he ever got used to Israel. Nor do we saints. But God calls them saints. You think he's a saint, don't you? Don't you, Brother Gabe? I think he's a saint. His mother thinks he's a saint. All of God's people think he's a saint. Except him. God says he's a saint. All in Christ is a saint. Beloved of God. Called saints. What's saint mean? What does a saint mean? Comes from the word sanctify. The word sanctify means separate. Set apart. Set apart to be holy. Sanctify means set apart for God's holy use, to be holy, to be for God's holy use. Set apart, sanctified, different. What sets them apart, these saints? What makes them to differ? Who makes them to differ? They don't think they are. God says they are. Here's what Christ said in his high priestly prayer. He said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Didn't it? Thy word is truth. This is what's going to separate them. They're going to know the truth. They're going to know the true God. All of them. They'll be all taught of God. Scripture said, all thy children shall be taught of God. What? Who the living and true God is. And every man that hath heard and learned of the Father does what? Comes to Christ. He said, I am the truth. Ask me a question. Ask any question you will. You'll find the answer in me, Christ said. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm it. The truth. They're all taught the truth. 2 Thessalonians says this. Oh, I thank God. Oh, thanks be unto God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Beloved. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you through sanctification of the spirits and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Sounds real similar to it is. Same mission. Sanctify the separated ones to believe the true God, the true Christ. The faith it's called. Verse 5. I got to hurry. Verse 5. He says, I'm an apostle to the faith. Verse 8. It says, your faith. Your faith. Your faith. Something he gives you. But it's still the same faith. See? The faith. Verse 12 says, the mutual faith. See that? The mutual faith. And another place he calls it the faith once delivered to who? The saints. The faith once delivered to the saints. He says it's a common faith. The faith. He says, Henry, one Lord, and there's one faith. Right? One hope of their calling. One Father who loved them, gave them to Christ, teaches them, brings them to Christ. One faith. What is the faith? I've already said it. It's Christ. It's Christ. And he says in verse 17, the just, whom he did foreknow, he predestinated, whom he predestinated, he called, whom he called, he justified. Declares holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Why? Because he did. Because he put them in Christ. Because Christ died. Because Christ lived. Justified. Made them right. They believe him because they're justified. And they're justified because they believe. No contradiction there. The justified ones, the beloved, live by faith in this world. In this God-forsaken, wicked world. And then he goes on here. You read it with me. And we were going to go through. He begins to describe the world, the people whom he leaves alone. And God Almighty, his beloved, his elect, his... We know why we're saved. That the purpose of God according to election must stand. The love of God. The blood of Christ. Has nothing to do with us. The will of God. The purpose of God. Don't we? That's why. because God, in mercy, set us apart. Set us apart. Called us out. Called us out. Verse 18 talks about the wrath of God. I dealt with this to our young people. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God clearly seen. Hurricanes, tornadoes, things that come from heaven, wind, fire, rain, sun beating down. Says Revelation 16 says, in the last day, the angel of the Lord will be sent to scorch them with a burning heat. It says they curse God and they do not repent to give God the glory. Don't even think about God. Here it says, verse 28, they don't even like to think about God. God's not in all their knowledge. They got a lot of knowledge, but He's not in it. Not in it. The wrath of God coming down from heaven against all. You know, I thought about the Egyptians. Back, see, all of the plagues came down. The wrath of God. What was it? It was the wrath of God upon the Egyptians. And the world has always been, Egypt has always represented the godless world, an idolatrous world. Egypt worshiped idols. But God had a remnant, an elect, right in the middle of Egypt. They worked for the Egyptians. Oh, but they're coming out. God called out because God loved them. He set His love on them. Were they different than the Egyptians? Oh, no. But God made a difference. God made a difference. He went and revealed Himself to them. Revealed the way, the truth, the life to them. Called them out. Well, the wrath of God fell on the Egyptians in the manner of how many plagues? Nine? Is it nine? Nine? Help me. Laura, how many was it? Nine? Well, anyway, these plagues of God came down on the Egyptians, and you won't find anywhere where one Egyptian said, God's judging us. Not one. Not one of them said, God's angry with the wicked every day. Not one of them who believed, God hateth all workers of iniquity. Not one. Every single Israelite did. Every single Jew knew, this is the wrath of God. And God sent something into Sodom and Gomorrah and wiped it out. And there was a man and his daughters that He brought out. He had to drag him out, didn't He? That was His salvation. God said, He's mine. He's coming out. And He did. Well, here came a wind, powerful wind. And a hurricane came up through the Caribbean, dodged this island, that island, went up through there and made a direct hit on Sodom and Gomorrah in the state of Louisiana. Not one whit better. City that prides itself in being in its wickedness. Wiped it out. Who says that's the wrath of God? Not the Egyptians. We all do, don't we? But it could have hit Roanoke, Virginia. Because it's not one whit better. Rocky Mountain. Right? It's just hidden. The wrath of God revealed from heaven. It goes on to talk about creation. Clearly seen. Clearly seen. We discussed that with the young people. Clearly seen. His creation. Let me give you this one illustration. Computers. I think man, you know, verse 22, professes himself wise, he became a fool. I think he thinks somehow or another we're just going to become superhumans and computers. computer is an amazing thing, isn't it? It's amazing. Keeps getting more amazing all the time. But well, how did computers get here? You know what I think? I think that there was an explosion 7 billion years ago. Out flowing in space were chips and, you know, circuit boards and huge bang. And there you have it. Foolish, isn't it? Utterly ridiculous. Say, you don't have good sense. That's what God says about man. What created computers? This thing right up in here. This is the most amazing computer on earth, called a brain. Who made that? Who made that? God. The fool has said, nope, there's no God. No God. What a fool. What a fool. Creation of God clearly seen. And you know what it says here in verse 23, it changed the glory of God. Verse 21, became vain in their imagination, began because they weren't thankful, didn't glorify God, refused to believe there is a God, therefore they made up all sorts of things about God. False religion. They couldn't be without a God. So they made one up. First thing it says they made him like was what? A man. God says, you thought I was altogether such a one as yourself. What a fool. What a fool. Needing things. Unable to do. Just like you. Dependent upon you. No, I'm not like you. I made you. That's what Paul said over at Mars Hill. We shouldn't think that God's like us. In Him we live and move and have. We have a brain because of the Creator. And on it goes. They glorified Him not as God. It says, so God, verse 24, gave them up. All right. Think you're so wise? I'm going to leave you alone. Now watch. This high and mighty and wise creature, watch him become like a base animal. He says he begins to dishonor his body. He's so ignorant. He's so corrupt that he begins to mark his body all over. Print his body all over. Stick holes in his body. What a fool. What's he doing? Showing off. Isn't he great? Isn't he one? He's an idiot. This started with reprobate, hardened, death row criminals who marked themselves all over their bodies. Well, they got to, you know, they're going to die soon. And it pervades our societies, and now it's the norm. What's happening? I used to think that these things would bring the judgment of God until Brother Dan Parks corrected me from Romans 1. He said, it is the judgment of God because of false religion. Because men, women become idolaters. The leading religions in the world are Hinduism, Buddhism, and Roman Catholicism. They're all idols. Full of idols. Nothing but idols. You see them all over their temples, don't you? Huh? Idols. It says in verse 25, it says, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature. Man, the earth, everything else. The sun, the moon. Not the Creator, who is God. God blessed forever. What do you say? Amen. And then it goes on to say, homosexuality. Not natural. Beasts don't even do that. Animals don't do that. It says they're filled with it. Until the whole earth, like he said in the days of Noah, God looked down upon men and said, if they're in him. He said, they're corrupt. Man has corrupted himself. He said, I will destroy man. Christ said that. Jesus Christ said that. I'll destroy man. He's corrupt. I left him alone. Let's leave him alone. Our society.
But God. Let's go back where we started. Let's leave here with the good news. Here's the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of it. Are you? This is it. It's our only hope.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, God, the beloved of God, rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were like them, dead in trespass and sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. In parentheses, by grace are you saved.
It's by grace. What are we preaching? It's by grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace, God's sovereign electing grace, I didn't choose Him, He chose me. By God's restraining grace, I'm not left to myself.
You know it so, like old Philpott. Leave you alone, He showed Peter to. At least leave him alone. You think you're something? Without me, you can do nothing, Peter. Nothing. He left him alone. What did he do? He became just like everybody else. Oh, no, here's it. Saint, called to be saints. Separated, called. Thank God for His sovereign electing, sovereign love, sovereign predestinating, justifying, calling grace. Aren't you? I know. That's the good news. What does it all mean to me? Do you believe this God? Is God, do you believe His Word? Everything He says is right. Everything He says about man is right. Right. Do you believe everything about you is wrong? You justify God and condemning yourself? Yeah. Do you believe you have one hope of salvation? And that hope is Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Hey, I got good news. That's the good news. God, You're beloved of God. Okay.
Hymn number 657 and Chained Together.